Welcome everybody, let's call the meeting to order if we could please. Do we need a seconder for that?
Nope.
Okay. So before we move forward, I thought let's have a round table. So my name is Kevin Goldfuss. I am the Director of Operations and APM for the Town of Qualicum Beach. So I was hired on, just to let you know, in December as an interim director and airport manager until such time as the town fills this position permanently, and they're actively in the process of recruiting for that. So that's who I am, and that's my role here. So nice to meet everybody.
Hello everyone, Natalie Sampson. I'm a member at large here in the city, and I'm an airport regulatory specialist and recipient of all kinds of requests from our pilot community today.
Great. Brian Cook, Sunwest Helicopters representative, helicopter representative, I guess. We since closed our business down, ceased operations at the airport, but I still own a hangar out on Row A. I've been on the committee for 20 years, I think.
Okay, Paul Connor, being on the same committee, about the same length of time as Brian, and I represent the T Hangers.
Nobody wants to leave? Okay. Yeah, my name is Pablo Novak, and I'm running maintenance facility for the aircraft at the airport.
Nancy Salmon, the president of the Qualicum Beach Flying Club.
Darren?
Yep, here. Right, from the last one. Darren Hassena, representing QLAN Flight. Newest member, I guess, replacing Mike Andrews after he left in December.
Yeah. I'm Gord Govin with the Skydiving Browns.
Jeff Ray, I'm Deputy Airport Manager.
Phil Munro, I joined this committee, I think in September or October last year. This is the first real meeting that I've participated in. My background is, I've been in aviation and Air Force for 20-something years. I was at Toronto Pearson in a senior management role for a number of years before moving here in May last year, and stepped out of aviation, but I've planned forward to contribute on a volunteer basis.
Thank you. Nice to meet everybody. Okay, so can we have an adoption of the agenda, please? Seconder?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Okay, so adoption of the minutes from the September 8, 2022 regular meeting. We have a motion to adopt. Seconder?
This is Paul. Paul Connor.
Any omissions or errors? Okay. Hearing none? Okay. So three recommendations from council. Does anybody want me to read through this? Okay. I will. I can. Right. So, okay, one from a regular council meeting January the 18th, 2023. The council appoints Darren Hrsena. Is that how you?
Hrsena.
Hrsena.
I didn't notice too in the agenda it was spelled, it's supposed to be H-R-Y-C-Y-N-A. I think it's H-Y-R in the agenda there.
Sorry about that.
Oh, don't worry.
Representing Sealand Flight to the Airport Users Committee. The council reappoints the following members. Ian McLaughlin, representing the Final Approach Restaurants. Adam Potter as an alternate. Pavel Novak, private hangar owner. Gord Govin, representing Skydive Vancouver Island. Allison Cooney as alternate. And Paul Connor, representing the T-Hangers. That'd be all correct? That's it?
Yep.
And further, that the committee terms of reference be amended by inserting the following under one purpose of the committee. The Qualicum Beach Airport Users Committee is a committee made up of airport business, user representatives, two members at large, one non-voting, council representative, and two non-voting Qualicum Beach staff members, and other housekeeping amendments to the terms of reference as attached to the January 18th, 2023 staff report. And the last one, I guess, from the regular council meeting, March 22nd, 2023, that council appoints Brian Fallows, representing Sunwest Helicopters, to the Airport Users Committee for a two-year term ending December 31st, 2024. Any questions?
I do. I didn't read the terms of reference for how they decided who's on the committee, but I feel like there's people that are maybe active at the airport that should maybe be on the committee as well. Like, it says that Pavel's a representative of the private hangar owners, but really he's, you know, runs a mechanic, he runs a business there. And then, you know, you look at Kevin, who's the new, you know, building the new hangars there, and, you know, Greg flying for, whatever company that Greg flies for, for the helicopter, Greg.
Greg Kelly?
No,
Paul Pickett
for us.
Oh,
yeah. So like, there's a few people that aren't represented. I'm not sure if there's a limit that's required by council when they created the committee, but I just feel like there's probably some quality voices that aren't being heard, in my opinion. So I'm not asking for an amendment or anything like that, but I just thought it was worth discussion. So,
well, I guess the question would be, have they shown interest?
Yeah, I think so. I saw Kevin, who's building the new hangar there. Yeah. I'm driving. Oh, I'm going to the airport users committee. And he's like, oh, I hadn't heard about that. I wasn't invited. And so, I think there's probably more opportunity for more active users. If that's something that's
designed. We are missing somebody from the airline today.
Yeah, why? And they're not even really on this list here of who's been reappointed to it. So
the last one.
Yeah,
both of them, you know, Para and.
But it seems like your membership now, like it used to be, like the first 7 years or 8 years I was on the committee, it just sort of happened automatically. And then this year, all of a sudden, I got an email saying that, oh, your term has expired, and I had to reapply to come back on. So I was like, oh.
That's a new one on me.
Something has changed. And so, so now on the list of people that they're allowed back on it, which is everybody that was really on it before, but we're missing Iski Rare and so Tara or Kevin or whatever. And
so under six of the terms of reference, this is the way it reads, composition of the committee shall consist of the following members. So a council member appointed as a non-voting liaison, one, town representatives, two, member at large, two, Qualicum Beach Flying Club, one, Sealand Flight Limited, one, Final Approach, which is their restaurants, one, Sunwest Helicopters, one, Sea Hangar Representative, one, Private Hangar Representative, one, and Skydive Vancouver Island, one, and Ishqui Air, one, right? So, that's 13.
Yeah, I guess.
Right? It is a public meeting, right? So it is open to the public.
Not usually. It hasn't been in the past.
But it is a public meeting.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Public can attend.
But they just haven't been able to talk.
Can attend, but they just can't participate. Yeah. But it is a public meeting. So
if we did have everybody here, it would be a relatively...
That's a pretty large difference.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It appears to be pretty, strong.
We're missing the restaurant, missing the airline. Who else are missing, guys?
I think that's it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. We're missing the town representative, like the alderman, whatever.
Yeah, we were out of
the and Instagram.
That's the 15 this year.
We're pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's
a good question. Any other questions?
around that, or any other thing that comes to mind.
You guys hear us okay?
Can you hear? Yeah.
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
Okay. Should we slide into four, business arising from the minutes? So could you give us an update, Jeff, on the CANPAS application?
Did we talk about this last time at all?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And yeah. It's ongoing.
It's ongoing. The last thing I got was we were approved about 3 years ago locally. It all went to Ottawa. And last year I got a letter from the regional director saying everything is on hold. Whether it was a COVID-related thing, there was no indication. But right now, they're not approving any more CANPAS airports or aerodromes at the moment. But we're on the list. So if they crank the system or the process up again, then Qualicum Beach will be, presumably we'll be getting it because the local folks have approved us to be one of those sites. But everything's on hold in Ottawa, so it's way above out here. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody good with that? All right. Okay, I guess just going into some new business, I've got a bit of a staff update that operations update on projects, but prior to that, does anybody have anything to add to new business? Anything at all?
Well, there was one, I keep on about the solar, and Arnold had said that thinking about bringing electrical wires across from where Kevin was doing it into the main area. So in future, if there was a solar farm at the back of the sea hangars, then there would be a connection to the airport site. And I hadn't seen anything happening since that last meeting, but I think that should still be on the table because if there is any, and I know Tunis was kind of keen on putting some kind of solar farm at the back there in the future, but you need to be running lines from the back of the sea hangars to the airport side, well, to the main apron side, if you're going to have electrical contacts for electrical planes and various other things that might be happening in the future, and also supplying electricity for the new LED lights, all that kind of stuff that can come from a solar. But Arnold said that they were thinking, and I think Jeff would be involved, that some lines might be run through a conduit right now, thinking about the future. There you go.
Paul, was that part of the discussion at the last meeting?
That was discussion at the last meeting. Yeah, I bring up that solar panel every meeting. Anyway,
we make a note of that.
We're gradually getting closer.
We're going to do a round table
okay.
Number six.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I add one thing?
Absolutely.
Stakeholder management in general. So I've been part of this committee since Dr. J came in September, but this is the first meeting I've attended, but I've had some neighbors in the area of the airport call me at work, and I've given my name on this committee. And I just want to make sure the messaging that we're talking about is sort of, is what we're trying, how we're dealing with stakeholders and neighbors in the area of the airport. Or is it just up to, could talk about now, I'll talk about after, but yeah, a couple of people within, is it Bolton Woods or something like that, that is off the runway? So they called me at work and hit me up, and I've danced on my feet a little bit with the messaging, but I just want to make sure, is that just a forum to talk about that? Or
so, is that a little noisy maybe?
So
this is a users committee,
okay.
Right? Those types of calls should be fielded back to the town of Qualicum Beach,
okay.
The ABM, right? Because that's part of governance, right?
So just as a committee member, they're obviously seeing my name and number on
the that's fine. Right.
So just push them back to the town of Qualicum.
I think that would be the preference.
Okay.
At this point, this structure is the airport, the users.
Mm-hmm.
See how we can improve the airport in terms of, wants and whatnot.
So several years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Jeff did a really nice presentation. We had a meeting at the fire hall, and we invited some user groups from Qualicum Woods and a couple from Travelo came as well that were really concerned about noise abatement procedures and what was being done and what have you. And he did a really nice PowerPoint presentation and talked about it. So then I guess maybe possibly sometime in the future there might be an opportunity to do something like that.
And yeah, we can do that. We can bring that back. There are noise abatement procedures.
Exactly.
There are noise abatement procedures in place. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And on that side, there's always new people moving into the area that don't understand what's going on as far as the noise abatement. And, Gord, you're right. And Jeff should have another session so these people can come and learn again because, you know, we've been hearing the same thing for 20 years and there's always new people that are prepared to complain.
I had a couple points that I forwarded to Dominica to bring forward to the meeting that came from some of the airport users. Are we going to do that at round table?
Yes.
Okay.
I do have that list with you, correct? Yeah. We'll do that around table. If we could just add new business, Randy, please. Structure review, 2023 airport structure review. And I can speak against that. Is there any other new business that you folks would like to get on the minutes? Okay. All right.
The only other one I wanted to mention was, and I think both Kevin and Jeff, you know about this, with Sealand, we've recently been approved for a pilot project for electric aircraft. And we were starting the process on getting chargers set up at some of the airports in the area, and Qualcomm was one of the ones on our list that we had talked about. We're still waiting for to actually get the plane and start, you know, flying and everything, but we had mentioned trying to get a charger set up somewhere on the airport for the future.
I understand Nancy's been in touch with Kevin discussing, you know, how to get any three-phase power. Get hydro to bring it in. Where do we bring it to?
Yep.
Things like that. Putting it up on the main apron, would that be good, bad, or not? Did you prefer it down by the hangars? I don't know anything about how you move that kind of system around.
So do you want to table that for a round table? And then we can talk a little bit of it, and I can give you a little bit of an update on my correspondence with Nancy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Councillors?
Hi. Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just let you carry on because I just for a second I don't want to get in the way of everything.
Okay. So just for everybody's benefit, we've just had Councillor Harrison arrive. So welcome.
Nice to meet everyone. Or we've become reacquainted for a couple of minutes. Mostly meeting new people.
Okay. We'll carry on.
Please. Thank you.
Okay, so I guess under new business, I can speak a little bit. So under Council's 2023 financial plan, they recognize the need for a structure review for the airport. So what that'll be is it'll be a review of that will look at everything from governance, the way the current governance of the airport functions, i.e. with council and the users, bylaws, what have you. So what it will take basically is we're looking at engaging a third-party consultant to assist in this process, and it'll be a multi-pronged, if you will, approach to doing this. Because it'll take time. So there will be a couple of phases in 2023 and possibly into 2024. And what it'll involve is looking at the governance model, like I say, and then going further from there, it will involve public consultation, which will include you folks as users, right? And it'll be an opportunity for the community engagement to get involved to see basically how their airport is currently functioning, what do they want to see their airport be, right? Is there any changes they'd like to see? And then all that recommendation will go back to council for council's consideration. So just a high-level overview of the intent of the structure review that we're going to be engaging in here in 2023. So as part of that process, it'll be
completely transparent, and people along the way, community at large, will be informed of the process. So, any questions around that?
So it would be maybe something with our committee specifically, and then maybe some open meetings for members of the public as well?
Yeah, it could involve something like that, right? But it will be public engagement. So this committee would be considered part of public engagement, for an example, right? Right? Because you are obviously a stakeholder and a large stakeholder in the airport, right? And the community at large is a stakeholder as well. They're the ones that, you know, collectively ultimately are paying for the airport and the airport operations. So, yeah.
Do you have any dates yet?
No, we're currently working on, like I say, with a consultant. We haven't entered into a contract yet, so I can't discuss those details any further until we actually enter into a contract with the consultant. So
probably fall-ish, I'm guessing.
No, I don't think so. I'm starting to think that it might happen even this summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's our intent anyway. We want to get this moving as soon as we possibly can.
And just have a Go ahead.
I'm just wondering whether there'll be some reference to the consultation that was taken by external consultants, or what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, because there's a lot of recommendations at that time that may be considered rather than being just put into the bottom drawer and forgotten about.
Absolutely. They've already been part of the package that the consultants reviewed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I want to point out is that I know Lou, our CEO, has been talking about this process for quite some time. So this is not something that's suddenly reacting to one concern or another. It's been something that's been planned for, well, I think well over a year, honestly.
Sounds good, yeah. So, thank you for that.
Yeah. Just because the airport's been in the newspaper a little bit recently, the last thing I want you guys to think is that suddenly rushing off to respond to newspaper headlines. Not what's happening.
Okay, I can give a bit of a project update if you like. So the runway lighting, as you probably all know, it's completed. Any comments on that, Jeff, or anything to add? So
the display threshold, you know the reason why, freeze, and that disabled the packing on the 29 end for some time until we can resolve that situation. We're looking at other options, given some breathing space. We may be able to turn it back on, but that's still being looked into.
Okay. So we're working currently on the completion of the Jet A fueling system. It's just about there. We're just having a few little startup issues, so to speak, with the finance part of it. And so we're hopeful that that will be up and running fairly shortly, but we're very, very close. With that, that said, Council has received a grant from the province this year for a new avgas system. So that has to be completed by March of 2024. So we're currently working right now with an engineering consultant, and we should be getting out a tender fairly quickly on that. Our intentions are to get the tender out and to start construction around September. And the reason for that is, you know, the summer months are extremely busy, as you know, and we don't want to you know, interfere with that in any way. So around September would be a more favorable time to start construction. So as that rolls out and we have some dates on construction, then we'll keep everybody informed as to what's happening. So we're looking at currently how we can pull this off with minimal disruption. So right now, as you know, the current tanks are underground, right? So all of that infrastructure has to be removed. So if we can build a new system off to the side, right, that would be preferable, and we're looking at that so that we can go in, build the new system, right, get all the infrastructure in place, and then look at dismantling, taking apart all the old infrastructure, and if we can do that, there would be minimal disruption, basically just
electrical from there. So maybe a day, you know, something like that in terms of disruption. But as the process informed, we certainly will keep the airport users, you know, informed of how this is all going to roll out. So any questions on that?
I'm probably the biggest user of fuel, at least for the 100LL. I guess in the event that you're not able to do a seamless transition, if it's down for data, I mean, I'm sure that's not much of an inconvenience at all. That'd be ideal, obviously. In the event that it's not able to go that way, if it has to be down for a week or 2 weeks or whatever, I hope that you're able to make a recommendation or a suggestion to council to have a temporary remedy of some sort, be it a tanker truck brought in or the opportunity for individual operators like myself. If I can bring a pickup truck with a tidy tank at the back for, if it's just for a week, then I'll try and figure that out to make it work or whatever. But just to have options so that there's the least amount of interruption.
Really good question. So we're already looking at that as well, right, as an option.
Cool.
In the event that we can't do, like I just discussed, we're looking at those other options
for now,
and we'll report that as well.
Excellent. Thank you.
And I think I think that sounds really reasonable.
Yeah, it's just a matter of finding there's a solution there somewhere.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So we've got some operational maintenance, runway shouldering that we've been doing. Runway crack sealing actually will start tomorrow, May the 4th through to the 7th. The runway will actually be closed. There will be no tan out on that. For crack sealing, the runway will be closed from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. So the contractor will be doing this through the evening, right, to mitigate, obviously, any disruption. Okay? With that said, we've already talked a little bit about it. The Row B roadway widening, and there's some drainage improvements that we need to do. That's at the gate, and that'll be repaved there. So that's a nice little project. The new hangar, Kevin's hangar, forget his last name. Anyway, his new hangar, he's going to tie.
Lacroix.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he's going to tie his hangar into the new pavement as well. So it'll be really nice. And we've been coordinating the paving with him so that, you know, that it's a seamless transition, so to speak. When the pavers come in, they'll pave it all. So it's going to be a nice project. Access airside will be provided via gate end of the service road. And somebody from our staff will be there on site to open and close the gate. So if anybody needs to get in, you'll have to go through that gate, okay?
You guys know what we're talking about?
Yeah.
It's further north. It's a locked gate instead of the cart swipe, but town staff will take you through there. And you'll end up going on the right at the top end of the airport and then coming in on the east side of the two hangars. Just for the, I think, 3 days, two or three days.
Yeah, if everything goes well, it should be finished up on the 5th, which is Friday, right? Yeah, so it's not a big project for them. Right now, they're, like I said, they're just tight-blading, grading, getting the drainage figured out and compacting, and then they'll start paving. So, okay. All right, that's what I had for projects. Roundtables.
Can I raise something now? Now that the Darren and Sealand have finally got this electric airplane, it looks like the future is nigh, and it had to happen someday, and it starts to make us think about how we're going to start the charging batteries and things like that when the electric planes come in. So I know Jeff said talking about bringing in the triple phase and whatnot, but you still have to tie in solar panel and cut your electricity costs for the airport. I keep raising it, and it is starting to happen, and it's going to happen very quickly.
So just in respect to the proposal, so I've been in touch with Nancy via email. And so the last email I sent out a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't received a response yet, actually, is we've invited the company to be a delegation of counsel. And we provided the necessary forms to be filled out. So if you could make a note of that, maybe I'd appreciate that. I don't know if she's been away. I can resend the email, but nonetheless, I did send the email, like, say, inviting her or the company to be a delegation of the council. And the purpose is to be able to, you know, explain this further and the technologies and the benefits of the technologies to both council and staff, so that council's in a position to, you know, understand the technology and then direct staff from there on what they would like to see. Currently, there is only single-phase power at the airport. So in order to, you know, do something to this magnitude, there would need to, we would need to look at bringing three-phase power in. But that'll be a directive of council. So.
And just to follow up on that, I'll mention it to Nancy about the email. My understanding was that we were waiting for coordination with Tira from SWU for the delegation, because they're also involved with the electric aircraft, and it was we were talking about maybe doing a partnership sort of thing, or at least coordinating on that front. So,
okay, great. That'd be great.
Yeah. I'll make sure we get back to you on that one.
What we would probably need as well is some kind of engineered study from BC Hydro showing how all of these different energy sources would come together. In other words, they bring this three-phase power, and I understand the three-phase power is, use the term, only required to get the high-speed charging.
Yeah.
You could do the slow-speed overnight stuff, which wouldn't do any good with what we have out there now. But let's say we bring the three-phase in, how would that interface with the solar farm, how would it all work? And that's way above, I think, what the town has as far as knowledge level. That's what BC Hydro would get involved in. If you guys want to take a lead on that and get Hydro to do some kind of study and or presentation, saying
what I would suggest, though, is that in the previous council term, we were looking at expanding some of the business opportunities in the southern Portland, and one of those businesses requires three-phase power. So our staff took a preliminary look at how would we be able to get the servicing down for the three-phase power into the South Airport lines. So some of it would be stuff staff are probably already familiar with, but some of that was being done before, a few years back. To your point, though, about how do you harmonize potentially if you're looking at different sources, again, above my pay grade and kind of outside my purview of when I'm specializing, I wouldn't expect that to be a huge hurdle for staff, bluntly speaking, because it's probably standardized to some extent in terms of the solar requirements and whatnot. But I'm guessing, so I wouldn't say for sure. But that might not be as big of a hurdle as you might think. It's just
what I'm not suggesting it as a hurdle. It's just someone's going
to
design.
Yeah, and to your point too, you know, you need the information what's actually required.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Bob still around at that point, or it'll be whoever's working with them. It is good to make sure we're working for the facts. But I will say I'm also really impressed with how fast the transition is coming. Because I expected this to be like 5-10 years from now, you'd be having the conversation, not now.
Yeah. Can I add something on the side here? So the stage we're at with the battery power is like when we went through the VHS and beta systems, you know, for the video stuff. There has to be some kind of coordination as far as everybody's using the same kind of batteries. So if that does happen, what's going to happen is the planes can come, pull out their batteries, leave them at the airport so they can be charged up, and pick up another one and fly away. So there's got to be some kind of central location where these batteries can be recharged, whether it's three-phase or long-term, because you wouldn't necessarily need the three-phase if you're expected just to leave your battery overnight or whatnot. So anyway, that's just a thought process, but that's in the works, and Darren may know more about it than I do, because he and Mike have been, I think, I don't know whether you've been flying that plane, Darren, but I know Mike's been up in the electric thing.
Yeah, we're not getting it until September in the Campbell River, and then we would have to develop training and look at it. And again, this is just expansion for if we're doing training flights, again, going around to all these airports. I know we're looking at the same thing in Powell River and Courtney and all that, just for, the intermediate stuff, but.
But Councillor Harrison's right. It's happening way faster than you ever imagined.
Can I just
it's going to be an attraction for those people that really like aerial testing. They're only going to have to go to airports that have the facilities. And if you have the facilities, they'll come here, not elsewhere.
Can I add something to the three-phase? Why are you guys asking Hydro, BC Hydro, for the three-phase? It will cost so much money. You can buy the electric converter, which is digital, or the rotary converter, single-phase to three-phase. And you don't have to spend so much money. It's a much cheaper solution.
I'll pass it on. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's the point. We had been in talks, or we're looking at talking with BC Hydro for to maybe get it as a grant or some sort of agreement like that. But yeah, if there's other options, then absolutely that'd be something to explore.
And pardon my ignorance here, I'm just going to flag something that this is needing already. I know the industry is incredibly regulated with like repairs and maintenance, which shifting to a different power source impacts the ability to maintain the plane in some way, or do you have to want to have conversations about making sure it's up to standard for that, or is it still basically just the same thing with a different power source?
I'll figure that out a little bit, but the project that we're talking about here, it's really a kind of groundbreaking, and as far as Sealand and our relationship with it is more for like the training side, to see and kind of develop for Transport Canada how it'll work. Again, as far as the training side of it and just the operational changes that might be required with an electric aircraft. So it's done in conjunction with TC, and we're going to be giving them in communication with them pretty much the whole way, as far as I know.
Okay, thank you very much.
And Pavel can probably expand on it more, but Pavel's only certified to work on certain types of aircraft or whatever else, so you'd have to maybe take a course or a certification in order to say, do that. So structurally, the planes are just going to be basically the same. It's the power plant that's different, right? So maybe that might change something that way. So.
Yeah. And even for the training, again, to that side of it, we're still not 100% sure if it's going to be you can swap between combustion piston engine and electric, or if it would be an additional rating on top of a normal license, or again, initial training versus once you're already licensed getting that. But, yeah, kind of a similar thing there.
But to sort of to everyone's point, we're talking about business opportunities with this, to be a bit of a pioneer, because the type of flights we're doing are ideal for the technology. Because we're not doing long international flights out of Boston Beach where the technology is there. We're doing local flights. So if you also be a hub for the training for it, might be a new opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Just as an aside, I was talking to Dave Gary, who's recently retired from Transport Canada. He's a principal operations inspector. And he's now on a committee with Transport where they're talking about electric licenses and what that looks like, if it's a different way of getting your license versus a combustion engine, because there's different things are involved. And so Transport's got a whole phase working on stuff like that, too.
Nice. Yeah. And again, I'm a rookie, so thank you for getting me out of the seat. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Great discussion. Yeah, looking forward to your presentation to council. I think it's going to be very...
Oh, thank you. Well, I have to double-check, too, what I'm allowed to actually say. That's the other thing. Thank you.
Okay, should we get into a roundtable then?
That'd be great. And I've been letting Kevin take part here because I don't know anything about your business compared to anyone here. So I just thought it was probably trying to play to let him take point. And just so folks know, hi, I'm Scott Harrison, I'm a counselor. Sorry, I should have done this with the name of the room. My mistake. Technically, the chair doesn't vote on anything, so I'm expecting to vote on anything. What do I know anyways? Why would you want me to vote on anything? I don't expect there to be any issues. I've heard this is a really well-functioning group. Just because I say this is for everyone, I'm not trying to pick on anyone, I'm not hearing anything bad. If there are maybe real issues, I'll try to address them privately, otherwise, I don't expect that to happen. I really, really don't. But I just think it's fair enough. I'm going to say it for one group. I said it's all the groups. So it's not like I'm picking on anyone. And I really am so grateful for all the work you guys do because it's a wonderful asset to have in our community. Roundtable. Okay, well, let's get going. So I don't know if all of you have anything extra you want to add?
No, well done.
Oh, I didn't know if there's anything extra you wanted to add to some of your earlier comments. Just as we start going around, you said, right, doing like a clockwise thing on the Zoom.
Zoom monitor.
Oh, and I'm up next. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think you get me.
Well, thanks for that. Well, as far as the future agenda, right. The next one will be the response to CLAN's representation council, because I think that's going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm like a broken record, but I really feel that if you're putting more electricity and requiring electricity at the airport, then, you know, why pay hydro? Just like Pavel was saying, there's other alternatives than paying high prices through hydro, and his option is one. And of course, eventually, hopefully, the roof lines are going to have solar panels on them. And I'd asked last time that, you know, future hangars that are put in, they should be orientated to the south side. So, those people that are building the new hangars can put solar panels on and hook them up to the system in the airport. Yeah, that's where I'm going. And my comment too, that the new hangar that's going up, Kevin's doing a fantastic job, and I gather he's been really working well with Tam. So he's very happy, and everybody's happy. Okay, that's mine. Pass on.
Pavel, I'm just going
clockwise. I just look at the briefly those three-phase generators. They're coming from the 1,500 bucks up. So I think they have to figure out what size they need, and that will be cheaper solution.
Okay.
Than the running the three-phase hydro. And also, there's the new lights and new fuel system coming up, and he's forgetting about the backup power for those systems just in case the power go up.
Okay.
That's what I think, some generator or something, because it's low consumption, there should be some backup for the emergencies. That's what I think.
Good point. Thank you. Ryan,
go ahead. Oh, nothing all bad. It's all good.
Lovely. That's
right in
my wheelhouse
where
I can handle. Matthew.
Matt.
Matt, you're up.
Sorry about that. I know I agree with Pavel. A backup system on the fuel system would be extremely helpful, especially if there's an emergency situation. With that in the airport, there's an asset. It's a bonus for the town. The other thing, as I always bring up, is it'd be nice to fix that drainage eventually in the infields there so people can actually park there without being stuck. Other than that, that's it from my side.
Okay. The drainage infield. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry, I don't know her name, but I'm going to see this one.
Yeah.
Okay. I assume we're going to be running into each other in the near future.
Yep, most likely. Nothing else for me to add, aside from what everyone else has brought up so far.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you. I look forward to running into you in a more formal capacity. Right, they can't see me because I'm sitting back here. Hi, sorry. Just a disembodied voice. And I'm sorry, I don't work. Thanks, Gord.
Of course.
Thanks for having me around.
Okay, thanks. I guess we're starting up our operations for this year. Some of the challenges that we do see on an annual basis, one is what Matt brought up about the infield. About it'd be nice if we could somehow make, right now there's parking on that front row, and the back row is just, it's just really hard to be able to access because it just gets so wet and soppy. I watched her today, and I'm like, we can't quite park the fuel sticks on there yet. And so in the meantime, it's kind of parked in a ditch, and it's, you know, hard for my pal to pull it out in the morning or whatever. So if there's anything we can, we could add gravel or something to firm it up or something that's easy to do. The other challenge we had last year was, we ran out of fuel, probably three or four times last year. And for our operations, that means that we're flying our planes to the ILO to pick up fuel and then flying back. And then we're going to Foyle Brain and flying back. And I realized last year it was a supplier issue, I think.
Yeah.
And then they just kept on running out. And I hope that that's not as much of an issue this year. I'm also eagerly awaiting for the upgrade to the IGAS system because although I'm going to go shut it down so I can't operate it, sometimes when it goes down, it's because the system we have is literally archaic. It's a dial-up modem that we're operating off of. And if the air conditioning goes out in that office, that it overheats, the dial-up modem dies. So it's the weakest link in the operations out there.
So the new system will have a QC pod system similar or identical to the Jet A.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the latest and the greatest.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay any money from the 80s. So.
No. Yeah.
Found it on eBay real cheap.
Yeah. To respond to the drainage on the infield and whatnot, we're already talking about that operationally, so we'll be looking at those things as well at the operations level.
That's awesome.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Sorry, I'm still...
I'm Jeff.
Jeff.
Who was talking about lighting or power backup? Remember a year or so ago when the generator from the Civic Center was moved, there was a discussion to put it at the airport. The decision was, it was so old, all you're doing is buying old news. So at that point, somewhere in our records, whether it was at this group or our internal safety group, there was a discussion about putting some sort of, not some sort of, but a backup generator. So I think that's, it's well worth cranking that discussion up again. Given that LED lighting and fuel, and we're still one of the only, well, we're the only airport between Nanaimo and Comox, if there's issues.
Yeah. Yeah, staff will look into the generator. That, most likely it may qualify for ACAP funding, I'm thinking. So, we'll recognize that. We'll further investigate that for budgets moving forward.
And just want to flag to you, I know this might sound like I'm sucking up, but staff has done a really good job of getting grants to the airport over the last few years. Because I know when I started, I actually did a deep dive, even though it's not my bailiwick, of how much money Sofino Airport got and how much our airport got. I was like, this is not the same. But the last couple of years, we've done a really good job. So kudos to staff.
Yeah, so this year, thank you for that, Councilor Harrison. This year, approximately $2 million with the both fuel systems and the lighting system. So, yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
You go ahead. Unless things go real sideways, you should not have any significant delay between new and old fuel. Break that down.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Things happen every day. It's just the way it
is. We've been out there. We're confined by how close to an artificial limit we can put the new tank. And we should be able to do it. But until we actually, put shovels in the ground sort of thing. But it's looking doable. Your turn.
Thanks. I don't have anything else to bring up.
Oh, okay. Kevin, anything that you...
No, I think I think I've covered everything. I think I'm good for now.
And I don't really have an update per se, but I just want you to know, like, historically I have mentioned the tree salute, because that one gentleman's property, they've grown a fair bit. I can't really say next steps, but just, you know, it is something that I canceled having the discussion today. We're aware that this is an issue for you guys. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed you.
2 months later, how are you?
I am really embarrassed.
Talking about trees, because by the time I'm a member at large, so by the time people seek me out, things are the noise level starting to go up. And I've received several comments, one from the commercial pilot and one from the private pilot, and two others on the trees on approach to the east, and they're starting to express safety concerns.
Yes.
As it relates to the emergency landing and the fact that we're operating under a displayed threshold continuously. So it's starting to bubble up and percolate.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
And there is no safety concern.
Okay.
Otherwise, we would not be allowed to operate.
Okay.
Transport Canada will not let us operate in the gray area. We have to displace them because of trees.
Yeah.
We don't want to stay like that, but... So when I hear that, I assume you're saying there are members who can't just willy-nilly operate our airport, Transport Canada.
And then having that different sort of approach, more or less, coming in, because you have to angle it a little bit different.
Oh, for what?
No.
The angle doesn't get any steeper. We just shift the whole thing down the runway. So the tree used to be here, and now it's there.
Okay. So it doesn't really meaningfully impact your maintenance in any way? In terms of
the runway short.
The runway short by 50 feet.
Okay.
And the issue is we can't use the fancy new approach light system we just had installed.
Okay.
Which is, and therefore we can't operate that runway at night.
Makes sense. Okay. That's good. That actually is a key point.
Yeah. And that's a big one.
Yeah.
So, medevacs.
So as part of the survey that we had done, both 29 and 11 were identified. Right away, around Christmas time, we were able to work with the property owner off of 11, and we addressed that, so that's dealt with. You're correct. There are three trees that have been identified off of 29, and we are working on some options, as Councillor Harrison has explained. So we're working currently on those options. But as Jeff alluded to, we are not unsafe. So what we needed to do was to displace the threshold, as you know, to continue operating. And so we're looking at a couple of different options, one being working with the property owner, and then another option as well. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So it's a process, and with all processes, sometimes they take longer than we all hope for, but we are diligent, and we are moving in that direction. So.
Okay. Sorry to cut you off, Dudley. Only other thing I guess I'd really add is that if there's something that you think we should really be paying attention to, feel free to reach out. Like if there's something that you think is a great opportunity for the town, you've got a bunch of land in the South Airport. It's not serviced, so that's a cost to capital has to consider. But there are a lot of opportunities in the sector right now, and if there's something where you think you should be paying more attention to this as a community or as a council, feel free to let us know. Because it's great having informed opinions on things, and you guys are more informed about the airport than anyone else. Sorry, you just are. So getting that feedback would be really great so we can look at things where we can help sort of like having a rising tide raise all ships at the airport, where you start getting other users perhaps engaged or other similarly complementing businesses involved, and it'd be really great to see.
I think Natalie has a couple other points too.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Natalie. No,
it's okay. The other issue has already been addressed, and it dealt with the infield parking, so thank you for that. And the third one was a question by membership on whether or not there are any plans to repair the tie-down cable. So never quite.
That was going to be my thing too. Yes, there is.
Good.
Is that it? We talk about it pretty often, about what to do with the tie-down cable.
Okay.
You guys know the big rusty old things in the grass. That is failing. It's going to be taken out. We've been talking to Pino. They replaced theirs a few years ago, so we're looking, staff are looking at them.
It's actually disengaged, like there's only two anchor points for the two cables set, and one of them's completely disconnected, yeah. The other one's kind of loose over across from Pavel's.
It's an old cable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Ben hit it with a snow grader. Yeah, we can blame Ben, yeah. It's not his, it's not his either, right? But he hit it clearing snow or whatever, like, 3 or 4 years ago, and then it's been a little bit loose ever since.
That has been, staff are looking at it.
Yeah, it's been identified, and we're looking at
on the list to be fixed.
We're looking at costs and what are our options. Okay. So, thank you.
That's all. Thank you.
Okay. You guys, like Paul, when you fly, and Darren as well, when you fly to the mainland, are there airports over there that have tie-down spaces that do not offer some method of tying your airplane down? We have a cable. Other places offer barrels or tires full of concrete. Do you know any place that offers nothing?
Boundary Bay, just by the terminal along the fence there.
Yeah.
There is no option for tie down there, even the overnight.
Okay.
But
the tie down at the far west end of that of the Boundary Bay, do they have something in the ground there?
Further along. I'm just thinking right by the terminal, you know where the fence is and you can park.
Okay.
Right there isn't an option. You just have to chalk. That's all you have.
Okay.
Dave Paul, that's part of the FBO's area. That's why there's no tie downs there.
Yeah.
So that forces everyone to go into the hangars. What their plan is when you talk part there.
Oh.
Darren, you got any comment on that?
No, yeah, I just know some of the ones where it's just talks only, but none that I can think of off the top of my head.
Not much Campbell. Do they have a tie down?
The grass parking up there is, I think it's, you know, like your barrels or center block. It's not like a cable where you can park anywhere. It's that. Far as I know, it's set spots.
That was one point that was raised by some of our staff is why do we provide it, a tie down system like a cable? Why is it not left up to the pilot? So, but I'm of the opinion we should provide something.
Yeah. So the areas some airfields have a concrete concrete base to park on, they usually have the hooks set into the concrete so you can pull it down.
Up in the main terminal, yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But on the grass, you could do the same thing if you put something fairly solid, not necessarily concrete, but you could also put tie-down steps right into whatever the gravel or whatever that would help.
Excellent. I just was questioning. Thanks.
Yeah, so, anyway, the two major things is the wetness. I mean, we've been talking about this for years, and the other thing is trying to get Chris's trees cut down. For me, those probably are the two most important things for the airport right now. You got to get those trees cut, man. I mean, we've been talking for 20 years. You heard me. RDA, go to the RDA, and I'm forcing to cut them down. Anyway, I'm sorry, it's a great thing. Should have been done 10 years ago. It's all RDA and property, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and if somebody had taken my advice 20 years ago, it would all be done by now.
But if you think about on those trees there, you know, that kid that ended up in the ditch over there, the trees weren't really the issue, but they didn't make the situation better. You know, as he's landing downwind and realizing that he's making an error and having an issue with the way this plane is operating and going too fast and then trying to add power to get up over top, he probably went steeper than he would have normally if there hadn't been as much of an obstacle there, and then he wouldn't have stalled and then brought it down. It wasn't the reason why.
But it was
a contributing factor to a certain extent. So, as was all the errors he made along the way. So,
half a meter and half a mile. So, the three trees that penetrate are a technical problem, not a real problem. None of us pilots fly down to a foot above the trees at a half a mile back. So, but it penetrates this. You know, our obstacle survey, our obstacle slope, so we got to do something about it. But it's such a small amount. Anyway, such is the way it is. Over to you.
Okay. Well, I think that's everyone. There's nothing else on the agenda. Is there any business anyone would like to have the next get-together? Because I know there's a little thing on the agenda, I think, for future business.
One of the things we were talking before we started, just being scheduled twice a year.
Yeah.
Is it enough? What do you guys think? Is there enough come out of this meeting that twice a year is effective, or 6 months and now worth it because everything's moved on? Especially this comment about electrical power and things like that. Shouldn't we be having one a little bit more often?
Yeah, 83 a year.
Okay.
That is allowable, I understand, in the terms of reference?
Well, the terms of reference basically say a minimum of two meetings a year.
You could have more, which...
You can, for almost every committee, and this is a committee, you can schedule a special meeting if you wanted to.
Okay.
You want to let everyone know. You want to be for the attendance. But so adding an extra meeting or two, the only thing I have to do is I have to check with the CEO about staff availability.
Oh.
But of course it's three times a year. So it's not like it's a huge ask.
No.
So I'd be surprised if there's any pushback, but obviously I can. I have to do that step first.
Okay. Good.
Okay. My computer is locked out, so I just double check if there's anything else on the agenda. I forgot. I'm a little bit nervous because I came in late and everything. Okay. That's it. I think we're at adjournment.
Okay.
I just want to apologize to Natalie one more time. Because we were going to come up twice, I feel horrible about that. Thank you so much for taking the time to show up. Really appreciate all the input, and I have a lot of notes, and I'll be going back with Doc, and maybe leaving Kevin in with an email to Luke, and just saying, here's what I heard from you. Just while it's fresh in my mind. And then if anything needs to be brought up, to hear about it. And I really hope, is it Paul at Seamless? No, it's not Paul. I forgot the name.
Aaron.
Aaron at Seamless. I really look forward to you guys because
I thought, like, you're playing, like, we literally had a conversation at council meeting, like, I'm getting this to the right of me, and they're like, oh, yeah, they're coming in right now. I'm like, that's going to take, like, 10 years. Are you kidding me? Like, look at all the planes we have. They're all older. And here we are. We have to deal with this. So I would be very surprised if you didn't get a very positive reception. Let me put it that way.
Awesome. Yeah, we're getting the ball rolling, and then, yeah, as we get closer to September is the date that we have for when we're supposed to get the plane and get it all started. So, yeah, we'll be in touch before then.
Okay. And if I'm supposed to shut up and not write my mouth, you let me know.
Can I say something? You're a
wonderful company coming, and they're like, yeah, you're not, no, please.
Kyle has.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Can somebody do the study? What is exactly required? What kind of the power for the electric airplanes?
Okay.
So next meeting we can discuss that and see which is better, bring the three-phase or just buy the single-phase, three-phase generators for each station, which will be much cheaper, I think, and much faster to implement, and we can start the have at some station already.
Yeah. And they're going to turn better. To your point, like, you go for 3 or 4 years, and then when, you know, you have the business status broader, then maybe, you know, somebody who's doing it, then you need to install the infrastructure that we don't fail up front and then develop use.
Thinking of other users, too, if we do find a cheaper option and it becomes more, again, widespread, there's no reason really why we couldn't have multiple at the airport, right? One of the flying club, one of the sea hangers at the apron, so... again, yeah, if we have an option like that available next meeting to discuss, that could be something to think about.
And the informal stupid question, is there, I know for motor vehicles you have this, is there any, has anyone been looking at, like, taking internal combustion engines for, like, more like the smaller planes and retrofitting them with the electric? Is that, like, going to be a thing in 3 or 4 years?
No.
No. No. Okay. I see Pavel shaking his head, and I'll take this one. Okay. No, thanks for letting me know, because that would be the only other thing I was taking as a hypothetical then, if that became a thing. Okay. So, yeah, I do believe we're done.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for holding down the fort.